Here on Voice of Youth, we introduce our new episode, Pressured, connecting it to teens live in today's society. I'm Deja.
And I'm Vanessa,
your host of Voice of Youth podcast. To start off this podcast, we're going to have some interviews. Our first interviewee is...
Austin Rodriguez.
Hi, Austin.
Hi, Deja.
My question for you is, what do you struggle with as a teen?
Honestly, showing my emotions.
How does that affect you, like, in high school, specifically?
You just go walking around high school, showing all laughs and giggles with your friends. Meanwhile, and deep down, you could be hurt, you could be sad, you could just be whatever. But, like, you just show people not your true side.
Do you have friends that you feel like you could have full emotions with? Or are, like, all your high school friends, they're just, like, the people you have laughing giggles with?
Oh, no. I definitely have friends where I open up to, in private, of course. But it's not, like, my whole friend group. It's only, like, two or three.
Follow-up question. Do you think social media has a play in that struggle specifically?
In that? Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah.
Does it help you in any way?
Yes and no. Certain situations. Yes and no.
Can you elaborate?
When you need to talk to people, there's certain, like, places you could go to on social media. But there's also places where, like, it just brings you down. Where, like, when they bring you down, you just gotta go to your friends in person and not, like, honestly just delete social media at that point.
Let's say you're just, like, in your bed and you're scrolling, mindlessly scrolling. Do you think that could bring your emotions even deeper because you're just alone scrolling?
At 3 a.m., yeah. At 3 a.m., yeah.
I think that's something a lot of people go through. Mm-hmm. That's why your sleep schedules are so messed up.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, thank you, Austin.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Our next interviewee is...
Damian Davila.
Hi, Damian.
Hello, Deja.
Okay, what do you struggle with as a teen?
I struggle with... the fear of failure, you know?
The fear of failure? Okay. How does that affect you in high school?
Well, it affects me because, like, I'm raised by a single mother, you know? Mm-hmm. Single mother now. And, you know, like, I'm now the man of the house. And I'm scared to, like, not... I don't want to let my mom down, you know? Especially what my dad has shown me. I don't want her to think my little boy isn't a man, you know? Like, he can't take that role.
Does that carry out in high school?
Yeah, you know, like, my dad was a really smart student, you know. Mm-hmm. He passed with, like, a 3.9 GPA, but yeah.
You have social media, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you think having social media and, like, being on social media makes the fear of failure even more?
I mean, yes and no. You know, like, I can see posts, you know, that are telling you to keep going, you know, like, everything you do, you know, eventually work out. But I can see others, people destroying themselves, their bodies.
Our next interviewee,
Michael Bianco.
Hi, Michael.
What's up, D-Money?
My question for you is, why do you think teens feel like they need to fit in high school?
Why do teens feel like they have to, like, fit in? So they don't feel left out? Because, like, if you don't fit in, like, what are you doing? You'll get, if you're not, like, fitting in, you get made fun of.
Do you think you would judge those people if you didn't have social media?
No, because I wouldn't have something to compare them to. Social media, it makes the comparison. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Our next interviewee is...
Aaliyah Jacobson.
Hi, Aaliyah.
Hi, Deja.
My first question for you is, do you have social media?
Yes, I do.
What social media do you have?
Most of it. Snapchat, okay. Insta, Facebook, everything.
If you guys hear an accent, that's because she's from...
Norway.
How great. Okay, how do you think social media has changed your viewpoint of self-image?
Well, since social media is so widespread, it's like you kind of can't get away from it at this point. But also seeing, like, influencers and people posting their perfect lives, like, online will always, like, make you feel like, oh, maybe I should have done more, or maybe I should be more like this and all of that. But in reality, a lot of people cannot get that way or, like, make that life happen for themselves. Mm-hmm. And a lot on social media is fake, but is promoted to be like, oh, this is the real life. And that obviously can make people feel like they're failing at life for not having that same reality.
How does that affect your everyday life in high school?
Well, obviously, like, seeing people, like, posting, oh, how good they're doing, and then yourself feeling like you are not doing as good can obviously make you feel a little bit bad and feel like you should have tried harder or, like, should have done better.
Is there positive outcomes to it?
Well, yeah, social media isn't all bad. For example, because it's so widespread, it can keep you connected to all of the, like, to the whole world. Mm-hmm. For example, for me now living in the US, I can still keep in contact with my family back home, which really helps, like, making the distance feel a lot less than it actually is.
That's great. Thank you, Leah.
You're welcome.
All right, so we have here with us.
Hi, my name is Misty Moore. I am a culinary teacher at Yonker High School.
Has social media corrupted or influenced this generation?
It has done both. I feel like it has corrupted them because they feel like they have to be a certain type of way. I've noticed the filters, like I'll see people online and then I'll see them in person and they look like a completely different person. I notice my daughter, like, having to have certain clothes, certain shoes, want to look a certain way because of things she's influenced by on social media. I also see, you know, positive things on social media, like fundraising for people in need or making people aware of certain things that need to be made aware of. But I see both sides.
Do you think it plays a role in how you perceive yourself?
Yes. I definitely compare myself to other women, you know, and just like young girls do. I even compare myself, like, as a parent. When I see, like, for example, birthday parties, like, now it's just perceived online that you have to go all out and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to throw a birthday party for your kid. Whereas before social media, you just had a party, got grilled some hamburgers and got balloons and, you know, happy birthday to you. But now I feel like with Pinterest world and TikTok and everything, we just feel like we have to do more and more and more.
We have here with us
Brandon Kenyon.
He is from the Gray Matters podcast, and he focuses on a lot of social programming and social influence. And so our questions today is, do you think social media has corrupted or influenced this generation?
That is that's a really challenging question to answer kind of concisely. I would say influenced, absolutely. There has been a tremendous amount of influence from social media, whether that was intentional or unintentional. Social media, at one time it was people influencing other people, and it's turned into more group mentalities. And of course, any time you have influence, you have money gets involved, and we see a lot of corporate influence as well now, political influence as well. And so it's not just, you know, kids influencing kids or adults influencing adults or whatever you mix of that you want to incorporate, but it's grown. And there's been some positive influence, no doubt. But I would say the negative influence of what social media has become, it far outweighs what it once was.
Follow-up question to that is, what was it back then where there was not really any social media at all?
Back and in how... the dinosaur age?
And then how has it, like, changed today?
Yeah, good question. So back then, which was really, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it was only a few years ago that MySpace and then Facebook, that those kind of kicked off. And there was a lot of, those were kind of birthed in innocence, if you will. They were made to promote your personal brand. And nothing more than that. There was nothing facetious about it. It really was a way to connect with people. Prior to that, a lot of what you did because you wanted to do it. You had a circle of friends that you cared about and you wanted to influence them, or they influenced you. But that's about as far as it went. You had your circle. And that was your neighborhood or your town, your influence that you were shaped by, your family. Those influences were nearby. And then the date usually came where you separated from those influences. And then you got new influences, right? You graduate from high school and you move on professionally or whatever else. And things change. But today we have a much different dynamic in that at a very young age, there's influence from foreign cultures and the good, the bad, the ugly for children. Things that they are able to see. When an alligator attacks somebody at Disney World when I was a kid, we didn't know about it. We never found out about it oftentimes, or we found out about it through the newspaper or a news site days after it happened, but rarely was it an instant thing. Today, children are getting these violent videos of alligators attacking other children. immediately. And it's not like the world got more dangerous the second social media was introduced, but there absolutely was a different influence on what we are. And this entire global influence is now in our pocket and on our personal computers. And that's a very, very scary and dangerous thing when you really start to think about it.
All right, and that about sums it up. I appreciate your input.
Thank you very much.
So I wanted to bring up the idea of, you know, like saying when enough is enough and trying to be your own person instead of like following everybody else. So
yeah, I feel like especially like in a young age, a lot of people have the tendency of like, there's always this one person who's more outspoken and kind of takes the leadership in the group. And I feel like a lot of people who may not be that outspoken might just go with it. And no matter what, like kind of just feel like they have to. That's the way their group is supposed to be.
Just a follower.
Yeah.
When I was a freshman, I had Miss West as my English teacher. And since she's a psychology teacher, she analyzes like how our personalities are and stuff. And so I've been thinking about this specific topic a lot. So apparently freshman year, I was type B and I needed to fit in really bad. And I talked more than I do now, which is surprising, but I did. And I just really needed to fit in. I dressed a certain way. Like I always wanted to like tie my shirts up and stuff freshman year specifically, because I've always been shielded of like being, I've always been very modest, and freshman year I just wanted to dress like everyone else, and that was a big thing. And I was friends with people that were rude, and that carried on until like sophomore year, and I just wanted to fit in so bad. But like over the summers and just meeting new friends, like even meeting the people on this podcast now, actually meeting everyone on the who's on the podcast, I've just like, I've said enough is enough, and I don't really care what people think. And the friends that affected that part of me, like I let them go. And it is okay to let go of friends that haven't said enough is enough yet. Yeah,
I definitely feel that the same. Growing up, I've definitely had a lot of different friend groups, but I've also been very lucky always having people I know I can trust and who's like always been there for me. But there was like in middle school, I ended up having a pretty like little fell out with that group, like people went their own ways, and then suddenly feeling the need to kind of find a new group and new people. And then I ended up being probably not friends with the best people, and then feeling like you should fit in, do stuff that you probably wouldn't have done either way. But luckily for me, I had friends where I found my way back to them. And like especially going then to the US alone, having to make all new friends, like you're all alone. I was at that point where I was like, okay, I'm just going to be who I am. And then if people don't like me, that's a them problem. At this point, I just want to do what makes me happy.
Yeah. I know there's challenges that people struggle with, that need to fit in, fear of rejection, body image, feeling of belonging. And I know a lot of that like contributes to, you know, having social media, because you see what we were talking about before, like you see everybody else
with their like perfect life.
Yeah.
Because even like you knowing that a lot of it may not be real, or there's a big possibility that a lot of it is fake, you still kind of be like, but I want that. That's how it should be. And then feeling like the pressure to like change up and make yourself fit into a certain point of where you feel like you should be at this point of life.
Yeah.
It's definitely not easy being your own self. It is hard to stay who you are and not care what people think. Like, I'm definitely my own person. I'm very outgoing, and everybody knows that. Everybody knows how I am. Like, I don't really hide much about myself, because I just know that the people who might be judging me now, like, I won't care about them in 5 years, and they won't care about me. But I still get these times where I'm, like, still really insecure, and I'm, like, sometimes I still wish I tried more to be, like, those perfect people on social media. Can't see me, but I'm putting on quotes. So like right now, I like to be real. I'm very insecure right now, but I always get back up and I say enough is enough again. I go through it a lot. So if we're trying to inspire anybody, it's not easy to say enough is enough and to just stop trying to fit in, but it's possible, and you might go through it again, but you know, you just need to be with the right people and stay away from social media enough, you know?
Yeah. And it's also like everybody now is so like busy trying to work on themselves and trying to perfect themselves in a way that they don't really care about what other people do. Like, you may feel like everybody, like, oh, if I do this, everybody's going to care. But in reality,
like, everybody's watching you.
Yeah. But in reality, that's probably not how it is, because everybody's so busy trying to focus on themselves, feeling the exact same way, that nobody really notices if you wore that shirt, or if you decided to do that thing, or, you know?
Yeah. And I think it definitely, like, corrupts, you know, teenagers.
Yeah.
Because they're still growing up. Like, we still, you know, I don't know, like, struggles, and we're not fully mature to that point of, you know, making that choice of, like.
Yeah, and especially now that social media has been, like, we get, like, you're so young when you first now get the option to use it. Like, when we were little, we didn't really have that option when we were small. Like, you kind of had to make friends your own way. You had to, like, be out there and put yourself out there. And you didn't have to worry about if people would talk about you on the internet, or you didn't see everybody else's perfect life. You only knew yourself and your friends, which now you're, like, you see everybody's. And then thinking of younger girls who already is, like, set out to, like, see that at such a young age.
I feel like I could find some type of positive impact out of that. So, like, I, out of most people, was very shielded from social media as a kid. Like, I didn't get my phone until 2022, at the end of the year. So I was 16 and a half. And while I feel like having social media, it probably made me more, like, I got depressed more often, and it made me look at myself differently more often. It also has made me more outgoing. Like, before I had a phone, like, I did have struggles making friends because they all had social media and they all acted different ways. But after I did get one, I feel like I've just been more willing to put myself out there, you know? Like, all the friends I have now, like, I have them on social media, and I feel like I talk to them more, so I connect with them more than I did before I had social media or a phone.
Yeah. And that's also, like, because I got my phone when I was pretty young, but that was mostly because I was walking home and I would spend time alone. So it was mostly just to text my parents when I got home so they would know. But I also see that I didn't really have the need. Like, I didn't feel like I needed to bring my, like, phone if I went over to a friend's house or anything like that. Now it's more like you always have to have your phone with you to, like, feel the reassurance. Mm-hmm. While, like, before, that was never even a thought in my head. It was only there to, like, text and call people for doing stuff.
It's like a comfort animal.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, society doesn't really, like, know what teenagers are really going through, because, you know, they're not in high school anymore. And obviously it's a different generation from when they were younger. And I don't know, you know, how that generation, they didn't really have social media. It was more of a foreign, like, idea.
It's clear, based on the conversations we've had with both teenagers and adults, that there are both positive and negative ramifications to social media. It's evolved, and quickly, into something that has had huge impact on self-image and lends itself to spotlighting areas that we could never realistically attain. The question has to be asked, what is the line in the sand that would cause you to walk away from social media? When is enough enough? This has been Voices of Youth with your hosts, Vanessa and Deja. Thank you for spending time with us today. We hope that you'll tune in for future episodes as we ask the questions that are pressing our youth.